This audio is to give you a chance to hear people who are using the Panic Away program explain it in their own words, how they apply the system and make it work for them. It will really help you understand the approach better, because sometimes just listening to how another person understands something and hearing it from their perspective can give you a breakthrough insight or aha moment. I guarantee if you listen to the end of the audio, you'll learn something new that will change the way you feel about your anxiety. The conversations I'll be introducing to you come from the Panic Away Coaching Program, which is a paid monthly program for people who want additional support. The coaching program is run by Michelle Kavna, a registered therapist based in New York. You will hear her explain the core ideas in the program with great energy and humor and insight. People often say just listening to Michelle break the concepts down helps to really click the whole program into place. In addition to that, you will hear firsthand from people who are using the techniques and getting great results. Let's start with the first conversation. Cheryl has just joined the program and is off to a great start, but needs some help to understand the whole idea of embracing the anxiety rather than resisting or fighting against it, which she's been doing for years. It was a completely new approach for her to get her mind around, as up until now, she's always been fighting and fighting against that anxiety. Michelle explains why embracing and accepting the anxiety is crucial for her recovery.
Well, what do you think about what you've read so far with Panic Away? I mean, I don't know what you've read and what you've read about. You know, I don't want to talk about things that confuse you if you haven't read about it yet.
I have read about it. I put some of the techniques into, I have to tell you, I put some of the techniques into use, and I was amazed at how quickly I was able to pull down from, I mean, I had a perfectly, one of my perfectly normal days. I had a normal day yesterday, and I haven't had a normal day in a year.
Wow. And what did you use? What techniques were you using?
I just, instead of fighting it, I kind of embraced it.
Good.
And, you know, I just embraced it, and I used the techniques of, just calming down and, you know, the 21-7, and then I went on to the, I forget what the next, you know, what you do after that. I mean, I just can't recall what the name of it is, but I did the next session, And I was able to get it calmed down. I was very pleasantly surprised. It worked better than any pill that I could take.
Yeah. You know why? Because the medication doesn't. I mean, the whole thing with anxiety, as you really get through the manual and just get into the program, like you really kind of have to immerse yourself into the whole mindset of Panic Away. You know, not to brainwash you, but to really, because it's about. It's about changing your thought perceptions and changing these patterns that, you know, basically you're getting these sensations and you're responding with this fear response, which ends up fueling the fire. And, you know, the more into Panic Away you get, the more you see everything with anxiety is backwards. It goes, you know, opposite of what you would instinctually do, you know, and you don't, you know, I've said this on a lot of calls, you know, we're humans. We seek pleasure and we avoid pain. So, you know, when we try to push things away or distract ourselves from not feeling well. I mean, sometimes if we're, you know, like we stub our toe, we know that if I take my mind off of it, eventually it will go away on its own. But with panic and with anxiety, if you're avoiding something and if you're pushing it away and, you know, trying to get rid of it, when fear is involved, it ends up kind of fanning the flames even more. And, it makes your mind think, wow, there really is something to get rid of, when really there isn't, you know. And that's what keeps that cycle going.
Oh, it's horrible. It feels like it chokes the hell. It just chokes the life out of you.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why, you know, the idea of embracing it, acceptance, I know you're still just starting out with the program, but, I mean, you're saying all the right things, and it sounds like you're doing all the right things. And even though you're feeling you don't like what you're feeling, you're still getting up and going forward with your day. You're going to see a huge change in regards to panic attacks very, very quickly. I mean, that's what I've heard time and time and time and time again. Because once you realize it's just not realized, I mean, I know logically we all know that we're okay, but that's one part in our mind that makes us think, well, that's it. Something terrible is going to happen right this time. This time's going to be different, which sends the fear going again. But that idea of embracing the sensations, you know, being specific and saying, you know, there are a group of sensations, there are a bunch of thoughts that don't necessarily mean anything until we, you know, apply that meaning to it, put that label of fear on it. And when you let the sensations come, and not even just let them come, but really even put yourself in the driver's seat and really try to bring them on, say, you know what, I'm not only not scared of you, I'm not only going to not let you be here, but let's go. Get as strong as you possibly can. Let's do this. You know, and try to make, that's the goal of the 21-second countdown. And I try to clarify that when people first start the program, because a lot of people get confused with it. They think the countdown is for, you know, I'm going to count down 21 seconds and then I'm going to make the sensation go away. Reality, what you're doing is you notice a sensation. It, you know, it's popped up on your radar. You're getting that typical anxious response. And basically you're telling it, you know what, you have 21 seconds to do your absolute worst, so let's go. And you're kind of teasing it. You know, you're challenging it and saying, well, let's go. Make my biggest fear come true right now. And you count down and you give it its time. And the key to all of this is at the end of 21 seconds, when it hasn't happened, you accept the sensation. You accept it for what it is, you know, a sensation of anxiety, and say, all right, well, I'm not going to try to push you away because you're a normal physical sensation, and I can't micromanage my body. So you're allowed to stay, and I'm just going to go about my day, and you take it with you. And that's where that whole, you know, bring it on in that 21 seconds and the 7-minute countdown, you know, to kind of, you know, help with all the acceptance of it.
Yeah. I just, you know, I think for the past year I've been trying to force it. And I've also put, like, time frames on it. Like, okay, well, you know, I expect you to be gone in 1 week, all of it. And I expect to return to normal where, you know, my whole experience hasn't been normal. So, you know, why I would expect, because I put this unrealistic expectation on myself, I'm almost fueling the anxiety. I fuel it.
Sure.
You know,
absolutely.
Like, you know,
because
like,
you're putting a limit on it. You're saying you need to be gone. And that's once. It's so, it's all just so backwards. It's like opposite world. It's, as soon as you want it to go away, it's going to make sure it, you know, digs in its heels and it's going to stay. And the second you say, well, whatever it is, whatever my body is going to experience at this moment, my body knows better. My body knows how to control itself better than I think I do. So I'm just going to let it run its course. And it's like a lot of people, like, notice this, that little click, that little aha moment, and they're just like, oh, my gosh, really, I just let my body do what my body needs to do and my mind do what my mind needs to do without trying to attach meaning to all of it, and it just runs its course, all of it, you know, all of the sensations.
Mm. Yeah, this is not fun. I've not had a fun time with this, you know, this has been a true horror show. You know, for me, and, you know, the whole thought of embracing it really went against my whole mindset, you know, like,
sure.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's
it.
Natural
I'm
to not want
it. Yeah, I don't want this. I'm embracing it. It's not my best friend. It's my worst enemy.
Michelle continues to explain the idea of embracing and accepting the anxiety, and then Elise joins in, and she explains how she understands the idea of acceptance in her own words.
As long as you have that mindset of, all right, let's go, you know, where are my sensations? There you are. Okay, everybody, come on, let's go. Get your coat. When you wake up, it's a whole different mindset. So it's going to take some time to get used to it. Again, you know, like crossing your arms the opposite direction. You'd be like, what, is she crazy? Why would I want to take all these sensations with me? But, you know, when you allow them to be there, you'll stop noticing them so much because you'll stop trying to get rid of them. And they'll just, you know, they'll just kind of be. And as much as you don't like them, you don't want to try to get rid of them or say, all right, I'm going to pretend to accept them for now with my ultimate goal being I want you gone. You
yeah,
know?
It doesn't
actually,
work because I was...
That's you, Elise,
yeah.
too, right?
That's me. I was doing that for 4 months. I was like, I'm thinking I'm accepting them, but I'm always looking over my shoulder. When are they going to get worse? Or I don't want to travel too far from home. What if they get worse? That's not acceptance. Acceptance is like your arms open up. Like, you know what helped me was a couple weeks ago, I had a call, and there was this a lady from England, and she explained it so well what acceptance means. And it's almost like also on that DVD when you're on top of the roller coaster and you just let your hands go and you're like, woo, whatever happens, happens, you know?
Right.
And I've been using that attitude. I mean, are my symptoms completely gone? No, it takes time for the body to desensitize. That's a fact. So they're going to linger around. But the more you live your life, the more you accept them, like the more you're like, yeah, whatever, do whatever you want. You're not going to scare me out of here. You know what I mean? I mean, I have a boyfriend now, so I'm at his place a lot, and it's like, you know, underground parking, you know, stuff that I wouldn't have done with my symptoms severe. Now it's like, fuck, you know, whatever, do whatever. Because, you know, you got to want it like really, really, really bad. And you have to be 100% courageous. If you're 50% or 90%, no, you're not going to get to the other side. You have to be 100% courageous. Never, ever say no to avoid any kind of, like, I don't say no to anybody inviting me, even last minute. The guy I'm dating invited me last minute for lunch the other day, and I was busy. And I am sleep deprived, so I have all kinds of symptoms. But I'm like, you know what? I don't care. Come with me, symptoms. We're going out for lunch, you know?
Yeah. Put your coats on. Everybody get ready.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Does it feel as good as it feels when you're normal? Of course not. But, you know, once you engage in conversation and you just let the symptoms be, they don't get worse. Like, I always used to think, well, if I go in a stressful situation, of course they're going to get worse. Then what? Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I'm going to lose control. They're going to know. I'm going to run out of, like a mad woman out of the whatever, the church. But once you face them and you see that stuff doesn't happen, it takes time, but you know that you've reached a pivoting point. At some point inside you, you'll know that you've reached a pivoting point. I feel I have reached that pivoting point. So
yeah.
You just have to really practice acceptance. It doesn't come overnight, and it's something that you have to fully understand, that anxiety is not some monster. It's not. It's us doing this to us through our thoughts, you know?
Notice how Elise brings up the point of being 100% courageous, really embracing the idea of acceptance 100%, not 50 or 90%, but 100%. All of Panic Away is based on the core principle of acceptance. I call it outright acceptance, where you are accepting the way you feel 100% without trying to push it away in any manner. Listen to Michelle take up this point of outright acceptance while in conversation with Julan. The conversation starts with Julan explaining that she feels frustrated because her anxiety is just not gone yet.
And I realize when you're talking that I have this thing that I think I should be over this by now. I mean,
yeah.
I had it before. I mean, early on the calls and all. But I'm realizing as you're talking that that's what I think I have been thinking that this week.
Oh, yeah, and that tension right there is what's keeping it going, because you're like, I should be over this. I should
mm-hmm.
be over this. I've experienced that myself, and I just refuse to feel that way now. I just take my time with this. But, yeah, you know, we feel a sensation, and it's up to our mind to determine what that sensation is and what it means.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, a lot of people say, I feel more anxious, and I'm also sick, or I also have the flu, or also I'm coming down with something. And it's because we're sort of, you know, that part of our mind is misinterpreting it all. We're feeling a sensation, and it's so easy to get sucked back to the idea that it's anxiety. And that's when all the barriers pop up. You know, you try to push it away and make it go away. And I know, like, you know, the way you were describing it, you're trying to get rid of it, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And like it should be gone by now.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
That nonsense. Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody on emails, this idea that a lot of people do, what was the word I kind of made up? I don't even remember what I said. Like conditional acceptance. That's what I was calling it. because people are, a lot of people that I've been talking to recently, it seems like a theme that's been coming up lately, or maybe I'm just noticing it. It's like people are accepting things with this condition attached to it. Like, well, I'll accept this for now as long as I know that in 3 months this will be gone. Or, you know, ultimately, in the back of my mind, I'm accepting it because I'm really just trying to get rid of it. So if I accept it for now, hopefully it'll just go away. You know, and I know it's common because nobody wants to feel that this way, you know. But again, you know, with anxiety, when there's that little drop of that idea of trying to push something away, that reinforces the fear. It reinforces, you know, it adds fuel to it all. So, saying, you know, I always say that obnoxious neighbor that always pops in, you know, that idea of just say, oh, hi, come on in.
Yeah.
Have tea, sit down. You know, and if you're doing it with the idea of, well, if I do this enough times, she'll leave me alone, that's not the full acceptance. The idea is, you know what? She's my neighbor. Oh, well, come on in. Let's just make the best of it. Come on in, and this is what it is, and I'll find, you know, we'll find something in common.
Actually,
and,
Michelle,
even
to add on that, you could say, well, she's not going anywhere. We might as well be friends.
Exactly.
Oh.
It's perfect. Exactly.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, that's
exactly.
Very
and
helpful.
As soon as you stop trying to get rid of it, whatever it is, you know, the anxiety, that obnoxious neighbor, you know, it's kind of like that energy that you're putting out to try to get rid of everything. I mean, that's just exhausting as it is. That can leave you with that sad, defeated, frustrated feeling that you're feeling down, you're feeling depressed. And, you know, it's just you're spending all this energy pushing against something that are, and what you're saying is, you're explaining a lot of things that do sound like excitement, and it's like that part of your mind is, you know, it's easy to misinterpret. And when you pull away from the support, and I know that's a big thing with you, right? Being connected to people has been so helpful for you from,
from
speaking with you recently, that, you know, if you pull back, you know, it can be very easy to do. You know, it's so simple to just say, oh, you know, I'm not feeling so good. I don't want to talk about it. And then you really just kind of, you know, like, get back into your shell.
Yeah.
Getting out and just putting it out there is acceptance in itself, too. Saying, oh, I'm feeling this way, period. You know, this is how I feel. You know, rather than trying to get rid of it, cover it up, hurry it along so that it's all gone before your family comes, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's like I'm hearing this for the first time. It is so refreshing. Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
I can't emphasize how important the core concept of acceptance is to healing your anxiety. It's so crucial because it creates a gap for healing to occur. It takes your mind out of the way and allows your nervous system to relax. It's our mind that keeps stoking the fire of anxiety with all the what-if thoughts and the frustration and the fear and the confusion, wishing we were better, wishing the anxiety was gone, pushing against it and pushing it away from us. All that resistance to the anxiety causes more anxiety. It rebounds, keeping us trapped in a state of fear. Outright acceptance of the way you feel calms the fire down. It creates a distance between you and what you are suffering from, and allows higher feelings in, like humor and joy, which are the death bell of anxiety. Complete acceptance takes your mind out of the way and gives your nervous system a moment to unwind and desensitize. You have to practice it, and it takes time, but just adding small moments of acceptance every now and then are small moments of healing. Now, I well understand that it's not easy to immediately move into this feeling of acceptance, and that you may have setbacks that cause you to doubt if this is really the right approach. But you have to trust that it is and commit to it. Listen to Michelle talk about that.
But you're still, and I know, Jason, you're new. You're very new to it. But I know it's still in the back of your mind that I'm okay with it as long as it goes away soon.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, like, I'll accept you as long as you're gone in, like, 3 to 4 weeks. As long as you're gone, I'll just keep accepting you until you go away.
Yeah.
And And then you check in and you get that day where you have that little twinge or that little sensation. You're like, oh man, it's back. I'm doing something wrong. It's never going to go away. What if I feel like this the rest of my life? What if I end up killing myself because of it? What if I go crazy?
Mm-hmm.
And that there, and that just fuels the cycle. But when you really break it down, what you have to do is trust what's being said. You know, trust what you're reading from Panic Away and trust what's being said and trust, you know, hearing from the other people on the call who have, you know, been through similar situations and are coming out the other side saying, you know what? It really doesn't mean I'm going crazy. You know why? Because I've never gone crazy before, so I don't really know what that feels like. I think I do, you know. I think this is what it feels like, but that's just our very creative minds thinking that we know what this means. You know, thinking that this sensation means something when it really doesn't mean anything. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Anxious thoughts are one of the real stumbling blocks to ending anxiety. If they're persistent, they can really keep fueling the fire of anxiety every time you react with fear to their presence. Sandy breaks it down and explains how complete acceptance is the way to handle those thoughts too. She has a great sense of humor, and humor is one of the most powerful ways to amplify acceptance of what you are experiencing. It widens that gap and allows the healing of anxiety to occur.
I've just overall I've been doing really well, and I've been, you know, going out on the weekends, and I don't know, I've just been trying to stay positive and work on my acceptance, and every day for me is just trying to, like, let go a little bit more. Like, I'm just trying to get to that 100% acceptance. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, like, hard, and I think we all work on that, you know? So every day I'm just trying to push a little bit more of just accepting every thought, you know? Because for me it's like, I could accept this thought, but what about this thought? So I'm trying to just say, whatever thought, accept whatever thought.
Right. No 100%. Bias involved.
Yeah, like 100%. But, you know, it's a daily practice for me. That's why I say, you know, I'm not putting any time restraint on my recovery because, you know, I just really want to heal the right way. And I just want it to be the type of situation where, and I was telling Providencia this today, where, like, I don't fear any sensation or any thought because I know that they all stem from the same place, which is anxiety, and they just manifest in different ways. We just have to get to the point where, I don't even know, like, it's just, we just got to let it go. I mean, like, I think everyone knows on the call, like, my issues are, I had the suicide thoughts, I had the risk, you know, my cutting my wrist thoughts, like all these scary, terrible thoughts.
Do you have that anymore, Sandy?
The suicide thoughts, really, I do not have them anymore. It's very rare.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a major for me.
Fantastic.
I had them over a year.
Now it's my thing.
Yeah, and that's why, like, Providencia, I know what you're experiencing. So I have different thoughts, but you know what I do now? I just say to myself, if I have these thoughts, oh, my God, am I going to cut my wrist? I say, yep, I'm going to cut my wrist. You know what I mean? You just kind of, you just have to go with it. You just have to go with it and not put that fear. Oh, my God, am I going to kill myself one day? Am I going to become suicidal? Yep, I'm going to become suicidal. I might as well go out to dinner tonight and have a good time. You know what I mean? Like, you just have to kind of deflate it. You know, it's like, yes, do I really mean I'm going to kill myself? Of course not. But I tell you, Providencia, to do this. I don't know if you do it. But you just kind of yes it. You know, oh, my God, is this going to happen to me? Is my husband going to drive me to kill myself? Yeah, that bastard, yeah, he's going to drive me to kill myself. You know, like, you just kind of go along with it. There was an interview. And Barry sent it to all of the members, and it was a psychiatrist who said that he had a client who for 12 years or something thought she was going crazy, on the verge of going crazy, so she was terrified. So he said to her, okay, we're going to go crazy right now. And he said, lay on the ground, you know, flop your hands and feet all around, make animal noises, like, try your hardest to just go crazy. You know what I mean? So just let go. Like, if we let go, isn't it, it's almost better to let go and face our monster than just sitting around and waiting for it to devour us.
Just to finish on the acceptance of anxious or intrusive thoughts, Michelle shares her perspective on it when asked the question, but what triggers these anxious thoughts?
My question is what makes the thought come up?
Nothing. It's a thought. It's a spontaneous thought. I mean, without the anxiety fueling it, these thoughts pop up all the time. Or you'll see something that might remind you of something, that reminds you of something else, that makes a thought pop up, and you may or may not notice that thought.
Mm-mm.
You know, you might hear a song that reminds you of something, that brings up a memory, that makes
right.
whatever. I mean, whatever. I mean, forget that thought. Think of any other thought that pops up in your mind. You know, I mean, at any given moment, you have, like, a bunch of things going through your mind at any time, but it's all kind of, you know, droning in the background. Every once in a while, one will pop up and you'll notice that thought. You'll notice, oh my gosh, this song has been in my head all day. You know, and sometimes I'll sing a song. I don't even know I'm singing it until my husband tells me to please shut up because I'm singing for an hour or whistling.
All day,
yeah.
All night.
I mean, our minds are constantly going. So, you know, suddenly we have a thought and our brain is like, well, what's the problem? It's just a thought. And you're responding with fear. So your brain's like, oh, well, then we have to keep her safe. You know, it's all to keep you safe. We have to keep her safe. So we need to keep triggering that, you know, that adrenaline rush, that response to her. You know, we need to be very aware of it because she's telling me that we need to fear this thought. And the more you accept that thought, you know, again, I always try to put it in the frame of, you know, a little kid. You say, it's okay. It's okay, you know, it's just whatever, it's just a clown, it's just a doll, it's just whatever little kids are scared of, you know. And you show it that it's okay that it's there. And then over time, you know, that little kid won't be scared of it anymore because they'll see that you're not scared, you're accepting that it's there.
So,
yeah, and you're right, you'll stop, but eventually when you stop feeling the sensation so much and you stop having that fear response, it's because you're not adding that fear to it. You're not adding fuel to the fire. You're letting the thoughts come and just letting them be.
Here's another nice piece from Sandra in the UK who joined a call one Saturday afternoon. She talks generally about the whole approach of acceptance and how it enabled her to handle situations like standing in a queue with anxious feelings.
How long have you had general anxiety disorder and panic attacks?
A very long time. A very long time. I started with it when I was in my teens, and it left me for quite a long time, and then something else happened in my life which brought it back. So therefore, I've had it sort of on and off, but I've actually not ever mastered it. That was the problem. I've never, ever had any idea how to master it. So I've tried all sorts of strange things in the past. I've done sort of hypnotherapy and cognitive and all sorts of things in various times of my life, thinking that that was the answer. And obviously it wasn't. And it was probably about 18 months, 2 years ago when I actually got the system and anxiety the video,
Barry,
and everything
yeah.
else, and from Barry, and it was like a light coming into my life because I thought, actually, this does work. So I've sort of been working with it, but all on my own, and I've made a heck of a difference to my life through reading it and studying it. But there was something that I couldn't get a grip with. I seemed to slip back, and I couldn't quite get over that hurdle. And it wasn't until I talked to Michelle or I've been online to Michelle that I realized, and she's made things simple. I think I was trying too hard.
That's right.
What I was doing, I was pushing, trying to get rid of it in an entirely wrong way. I know it said don't fight it, but your natural instinct in life is to frighten. If something's frightening you, you want it to go away instantly. And unfortunately, that's what I've been doing over the years, I think. And it wasn't until Michelle sort of put it into sort of boxes and little pieces that I could understand that I've actually come to terms with actually embracing it and saying, hi there, you're here. Well, let's get on with today then and see where we go from here. And it's helped me enormously. I cannot tell you.
That's amazing that you could do that in a couple of weeks.
That feeling of wanting to escape all the time, basically, I used to have sort of in the most hideous situations, a queue in the local store. I'd stand and I'd think, no, I can't stay here any longer. I just have to put my basket down and go because I can't possibly wait for this queue to go down. Or I'd be in the car and there'd be a queue waiting to get to somewhere. But I've had to practice all those things and practice and practice and practice. When I'm in the queue, I just now say, so go on, you know, put your basket down, run away. It's not going to do you any good, but just stay here and be calm. Accept that you feel like it, but the feelings will go. The feelings have to go because I'm accepting them. I'm not fighting them. I'm not telling them I don't like them. I'm saying, oh, okay, you're here. I don't like the feeling I've got at all. I really don't like this feeling, but it isn't going to kill me. I'm not going to die. I even try and bring them on now, which is hideous, I know, because it scares me to death. But I do.
Wow.
If I'm in a very situation where I've been out for coffee with the girls this morning, and normally if I'm sitting there and I'm surrounded and I'm sort of at the back of the crowd so that I can't get out if I want to, I would normally get myself in a bit of a state. So I try now to bring it on. I think, right, you're at the back of the room. What are you going to do? How are you going to get out of this one then? And in actual fact, by trying to bring it on, you know you can't. So therefore, that tells me that if I can't make it happen, then it's not going to happen. And I don't know. I just work with it every day now. And it's getting less. I have to say it's getting less. And I can see different things happening in my life that I couldn't do before that I can actually do now.
At the end there, Sandra mentioned bringing on the anxiety. And that takes us to the 21-second countdown and the idea of demanding more of the sensations or thoughts that scare you most, riding out that panic. At moments where the anxiety spikes into feelings of panic, acceptance of the anxiety alone is not enough to stop the escalation of the anxiety. So when the anxiety turns to panic, you use your elite tool, the 21-second countdown, and demand the anxiety to intensify. This is when you really face into the anxiety full force.
Okay, so my only thing to mention to you or to give you advice about is this program is going to teach you that instead of, like, being afraid of things happening to you, it's like the opposite. You're going to embrace that. You're going to say, okay, dizziness, okay, tingling, come and get me. Mm-hmm. The way it works is the more we fear something, the more attention we're giving it, and, you know, it tends to come out more. I'm not saying it's going to happen to you. I'm just saying that there's no reason for you to fear those things. The only reason that they were coming, you know, happening to you is because you were afraid of them. And my new approach is going to be full, like, an embrace. Like, just embrace it. Throw your arms open and not be afraid. That's really easy to say, you know. But slowly through this program, you'll learn to trust yourself more and to trust us, and you'll hear, like, our stories. And that's really when the progress starts to happen, once you start letting go.
Yeah, it sounds – I mean, what you said is spot on, right? But when you first start the program, it sounds crazy, right?
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
What the heck am I going to want to bring on, like, the worst sensations that I don't want to experience? And that's usually, like, everybody's first reaction. But the thing, you know, just once you really kind of dive into Panic Away and really kind of understand how all the concepts work together and what anxiety really is, it says that you might not like the sensations, but they really are just sensations. And the more you resist them, the more they persist.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, people that will come onto the program, I'll hear a lot of times, well, I did better for a few years, and then I didn't do so good, and then I did better. You know, kind of up and down, and it comes and goes. And, you know, when the stressors come back, they might notice more sensations. And because you've tried or you've done a very good job of avoiding these
you know, triggers or these sensations, when they come back, you're still having that fear response to them.
And when you, like, literally say, like, come on, like, make my heart, like, pound out of my chest. Like, when you say, let those tingles come, you know, let that dizziness come, whatever it is. Once you, like, really demand it and you reverse roles where you're no longer, like, the victim, it's going to start to break. The cycle's going to break. Every single person I've heard come on with panic attacks, they're terrified, they think they're dying, and then as soon as they do this, they come on like a different person on the phone call. Oh, my God, the panic attacks don't happen anymore. And I could speak from my own experience. I haven't had a panic attack in over a year. I have no fear whatsoever of them anymore.
Right, the more you bring on that thought or that sensation, the more you let it in, and it's the same technique for it. It doesn't matter what the situation is, what the sensation is, and that's what's good. It's not about just for fear of driving over bridges or panic attacks. It's all of it. It's once you open your arms to it and let the sensation in, it drops that label of fear from it. You're accepting it as the sensation, because when you think about it, most of us have, or most people put into their mind, like, this fake feeling of control. It's like pseudo control. Well, if I don't think about it, it won't be there. And if I, you know, breathe deeply and change my thoughts, I'll stop dying. But if I let it in, if I drink a bottle of water, I won't have a heart attack. And this fake sense of control that we have, and we've talked about this on the calls a bunch of times. It's like, you know, you're in this hyper-aware state, hypersensitive to everything, and now you're trying to micromanage these perfect systems, you know, our bodies and our minds, which are supposed to take care of themselves. But now we're noticing all the little things that go on with our bodies and our minds that normally would just, you know, just flow on down. You know, we wouldn't even pay it a second attention, that twinge, that thought. Yeah, we wouldn't notice it. But now that we're so tuned in, you're like, well, I need to take care of this. You know, something must be wrong. But really, you just hadn't noticed it before. So now, then you enter that micromanagement stage. And if you ever worked with a boss or know of somebody who is a micromanager, you see, like, their employees, as good as they are, as good as they might have been when they started working, suddenly lose faith in themselves. You know, the micromanager is this control freak. So, you know, it's the difference between control and power. So really putting yourself back into that position of power means trusting that your mind and your body know what to do a heck of a lot better than we think we know how to control it. And saying, you know what, it's a sensation. It's an adrenaline rush, basically. I mean, that's the essence of a panic attack, is this major adrenaline rush. And if you fight, you know, if you fight it or if you flee, it reinforces to that part of your mind, I was saying, the control center of your brain, that, all right, good, we did good. We took care of it. We told her there was something to fear. She feared. She took action. And so we're going to make sure to do that again to her and again and again and keep her safe. Because, I mean, as terrible as anxiety feels, I mean, it really is, it's supposed to be protecting you. But what you want to do is take that rush and just ride it out. Say, you know, with a different mindset, not of fearing it, but kind of as looking at it like a little kid, you know, like when you teach it like a child, say, you know what, I understand that you think I'm supposed to be scared of this, but it's okay. And not only am I just going to let it be here, I'll bring it on, you know, call the bear over, kind of, you know. Say, hey, you can come because I'm okay. And when you are 100% okay with it, that's when it goes away. The second you stop trying to get rid of it is when it goes away.
Yep.
Riding out the panic and bringing it on is paradoxical intention, and it's an approach that I've packed into a simple technique in Panic Away called the 21-second countdown. When will this anxiety ever end is a key concern for most people. It's understandable, especially after a person has experienced a setback during their recovery. And by the way, setbacks are almost guaranteed during every recovery. Listen to Sandy elaborate on this point of wanting the anxiety to just be over with.
I used to do that all the time. This is Sandy again, by the way. But I used to do that all the time. When is this going to end? I would compare myself to everybody on the calls. I would be like, well, you know what, Julianne's doing better, and this one's doing better, and I'm not doing better. It only adds more tension to the problem. And what I've noticed is that no matter where the tension comes from, if you're adding any tension, it's going to continue this loop that we go around in, this circle. So you have to right now just make a decision that no matter how long it takes, you're okay with that. Because everybody's different, and it might take longer for some people. I've actually noticed in my own experience that even though it may take me a longer time, I have adopted the mentality that even though it might take me a longer time, it's like I'm nurturing my acceptance. I want to be healed the right way. I want to actually be done with this so I don't have to deal with it again in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So if it takes a little longer for me to really grasp it, for me to really get it, I'll wait.
You know, with anxiety, people always have a particular sensation that they dread to feel. When using Panic Away, it's very common to resolve that fear around that particular situation, only for it to manifest as a different new sensation later. Michelle calls it the whack-a-mole game and explains to how complete acceptance is again the solution.
But I've gotten a lot better with that. But when all that started, I constantly had a lump in my throat. And, I mean, it just made my anxiety 1,000 times worse. And I can
right.
remember.
And probably vice versa, too. And when the anxiety's high, that's what's making you notice the lump even more. And,
yeah.
Right? They go back
yes.
and forth.
Yes. Well, that's how I figured out that there really wasn't something in my throat, because there was times that, you know, I would be doing something else. And then I would, you know, go to check on it. And then I just realized I was doing something for 30 minutes and didn't notice it that whole 30 minutes until I decided to be like, oh, wait, is that lump still there? And then, of course, when I thought about it, it was there. But the whole time I was doing something, it wasn't there. And that was probably, out of all my anxiety, the lump in my throat was the most terrifying to me. And that's, oh, I know how it feels. And I don't know how I got past it. What it seems like with anxiety, you get past one thing.
And something
another
else
comes. And then you have to get past that other thing. Until it's all, you know, until we've gone through it all. From our toes
yeah.
to our head, you know.
And right. And then rather than, you know, focusing on trying to get rid of one symptom, because then it'll eventually, you know, one will go, but it'll turn into something else. And then turns into, you know, that whack-a-mole game. So really
mm-hmm.
the key is to just address that underlying fear, you know, that source of it all, where, you know, it comes out of your body in different ways. It comes out with a thought. It comes out with a sensation. As Sandy said it well on the last call or the call before, how, you know, like suddenly the one thought that bothered her so much, now there's a new thought. And she's not even thinking about the old thought anymore. And it really just shows,
yep.
like, kind of what a joke this whole thing is. Like, this thing that seems so all-encompassing, suddenly something else shows up. And that thing that seems so all-encompassing doesn't mean anything anymore. So, you know, it can really morph until you really get to the source of what's morphing it. And that is really, like, full-blown acceptance. And, again, I know it's annoying that I'm saying it over and over again, but really it's saying, you know what, let's go, let's be there. And not with the mindset of, oh, gosh, here it is again. All right, here you are, I accept you. You know, because it, That's saying, I see you there, but you're not welcome.
I don't
welcome.
Like you. Yeah, you're not welcome.
Right, but you need to, like, the idea of welcoming it and saying, okay, well, this is my body right now. I can't change, you know, I'm not going to change my body's physical processes. So if that's how it will be, then so be it. Let's go, everybody. Let's go, lump in your throat. We'll get you a coat, too. And
yeah.
we're all going out. It's rainy today. So what? You can't go to the park? Take your kids. Go to the movies. Go to the store, go to Crazy Chuck E. Cheese, you know, make the day, you know, as good as you can. Going and living your life and just bringing it all along with you, bringing the sensations with you and fully allowing them to be there. Well, what you actually want them to come, like you said, you wanted them to come up on the ride and they wouldn't. And it's funny because people get very frustrated, but it really is like that little manipulative kid. Providencia, you said that on the message the other day, right? You're like, oh, I know you're happy that I'm out and doing all those things, but it's like bringing that annoying little child along. And I mean, and if you can view it as that, like that, if you could keep that view of it as a little child, that all it wants is your attention, all it wants is your attention, you know? So if it's going to, like, bang on a drum to get your attention and you finally pay the attention from that, that's what it's going to keep doing. So it's, if it's going to say, all right, well, lump in her throat, that's what's going to get her attention, so I'm going to keep giving that to her. Mm-hmm. Until you really just stop caring about it. And you'll notice when you stop caring about it, you won't cry anymore.
Yeah.
And it works that way. It's not, I'm not going to tell you don't cry and then it'll, then you'll stop paying attention to it. But you'll notice that once you stop really having emotional response to it, you'll stop responding with an emotion. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When anxious, you tend to check in frequently. Checking in is checking in to see how you're feeling. Are you feeling anxious? Checking your mind, checking your body, checking for uncomfortable sensations. Elise elaborates on how acceptance is helping her from checking in all the time and changes the way she looks at her anxiety.
Michelle, I got to tell you, it's hard not to check in. It's like having a migraine headache. Just give you an example, right? It's there. I think the thing is, you can't help but notice that it's there, but but if you talk to it differently, like, okay, you're there, and treat it like a friend, you know, like, that's okay, you're not going to hurt me, because it's really, if you think about it, if you dissect it, it's the thoughts we put in that fuel it.
Yes.
That's what makes it worse, and I'll tell you, because I've been sleep deprived, so I feel drunk, hungover. Some days I feel like I can't even drive my son to karate because it's like feels so bad. But I push myself because I go, you know what? I'm sleep deprived. It's never killed anybody. They've done studies on this. As long as you rest your body, you're fine. And you actually test yourself when you're at your worst, you know? Mm-hmm. Sorry, don't tell you. Practice while you're at your worst. Then it's unbelievable. Like, because then it doesn't take the same emotional, you're not emotionally distraught over it. You're like, I don't know how to explain it. Your mind just accepts it differently and looks at it differently. And believe me, I've only really been doing this a couple of weeks, and I notice, like, I notice differences that I... There's nothing that I won't do, you know what I mean? Actually, I want to do it with the symptoms. Is that not weird?
Yes. No, that
symptoms.
Is perfect.
We're going to my brother's. Like, last night I had to drive about an hour to get to my brother's. Damn it, they didn't even come. I go, I want you to come. I felt sensitized. I felt sensitized. I felt a little bit, you know, off balance. Can you... Please, you know, come. I want to practice. They freaking didn't come, you know, but I'm sure that they'll come sometime.
Yep, I'm telling you, it's like a little child anxiety. And I know you're always yelling at me when I'm telling you on the, you know, writing back and forth. You want them. I don't want them. I said, you actually want them to come so you can practice the technique.
But, honey, I didn't get it. And that's what I'm trying to explain to these girls, right? Janet and probably the... Because I didn't want them, that you can tell that the person's not accepting them.
Right.
It's when you want them, you hate how they feel, for sure. It doesn't feel fun. Anxiety doesn't feel fun, you know? But it's when you want them so you can practice and go, wow, I really am in control, you know? It's amazing. After, there was a couple times, and you guys are going to find it too, when you start getting it, it's like a glimpse that you get it and you think, you've been doing this to yourself, like you've been, this isn't as bad as you think, stupid. Like, I don't know, these are the thoughts that I get to now, you know, this is the thoughts that I start having towards myself, like, you know, like,
That's great, you know, because it's like you end up, once you get to the other side of anxiety, you know, a lot of people say, I just want my old self back, or I want to go back to how things were, but, you know, there's no going backwards. What you do is, you get through anxiety and you get to the other side of it. And what happens is you still get to keep that awareness, that full awareness of yourself, of your thoughts, of your body, of your mind, probably on a higher level that most other people don't have, you know, from the checking in, from just going through all this. You're super aware of all this. But once you get through it all, you won't have that fear attached to it anymore. You'll just be able to notice it all. Notice how your body kind of works. Notice how it responds to stressors. You'll know when you're getting sick, you know, days in advance because you're so tuned into yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I like the point Michelle made at the end there of how you grow in awareness through the experience of anxiety. Dealing with anxiety and panic is a very unique experience that not everyone gets to go through. Once you master it, you grow as a person. You become a bigger person, more self-aware than the average person who has never been challenged internally in this manner. So don't ever think of yourself as a victim of anxiety. Instead, see yourself as the hero of your own story. William Ernest Henley wrote the lines, "I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." There is meaning and purpose to this anxiety that you experience. Once you've triumphed over it, you can then go on and teach what you've learned to others. You can be a source of strength and inspiration for them as they find their way back home to themselves again. I hope you've gotten something from this recording. I want to thank the contributors that you heard here who've allowed me to share their unique insights and understandings with you. No one has to be alone with this. Together, we can be a great source of strength and understanding for each other. Thank you to Michelle Kavanagh for doing such a great job of running the Panic Away private coaching program. If you're interested in it, you can learn more about it by visiting panicaway.com/coaching. That's www.panicaway.com/coaching. Or you can email us at support@panicaway.com to get more information about that. That's the end of the recording. Thank you very much for listening. I think Sandra summed it all up best, so I'm going to leave the last word to her.
And therefore, I don't keep looking in as much. I mean, I can't believe that 3 weeks ago I was in the state I was in. So
get
obviously
out of here.
Something That's has amazing. Happened. So something's happened by listening to Michelle or the way she's told me to do it that's worked for me at the moment. So I'm hoping that you know, I'm doing the right thing at the moment, and
you are.
Well, certainly
sounds like it.
Certainly this
like
week has been far better than last week, and better than the week before. So, you know, I think she's a wonderful lady. I think the system's the best in the world, and you're going to get better, and so is everybody else.